is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Top of the hour is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. He is our closer. Jensen Lewis back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Going to have Greg Peterson join the program here a little bit later on this hour, get his thoughts on Major League Baseball and beyond. We're going to talk some World Cup as well coming up here with Chris Vaselli, and then we're going to have Kyle Peterson in hour number three talking all things college baseball out there at Omaha as we are down to, I believe, six teams still left here for the College Baseball World Series. But right now, let's talk a little bit about that World Cup. And if you like a draw, yesterday was the day for you. That's where we begin our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
Don't know who came up with the phrase, but it's like kissing your sister. Lots of draws out there, and I think maybe the biggest one, Jensen, was a shocker that we had Cape Verde that got a draw with España. Was that the biggest surprise to you yesterday on the pitch?
Oh, yeah. I mean, 12-1. And again, for everyone who tailed our selection there, Cape Verde +3.5 on the alternate line. Never a doubt. It was almost in doubt for Spain to even get a point. Couple of late chances from Cape Verde to would have been a stunner of stunners. Had Cape Verde taken down the lead dog there as far as the odds go to win the World Cup. Belgium and Egypt, maybe not as surprising as the 3-1 on the draw there. Belgium with the lead equalizer against the Faroes there to draw level. Saudi Arabia and Uruguay. Felt Uruguay really left a lot on the table. They did not look like themselves. Credit to Saudi Arabia. That was also a 3-1. And then Iran with a late equalizer on the Kiwis of New Zealand. That one draws 2-2. So, Dave, that means through 16 matches, we've had eight ties. A great friend of the program, Ben Fox, talking about it. You'd be up 26.5 units. And if you are one of our great colleagues like Will Hill, who had the foreshadowing to maybe put together a three-leg or four-leg draw parlay, a $100 parlay on all four draws yesterday, $64,000 winner. Come on down. Your table is ready. That will feed families and then some. What a day on the pitch. We got three more today. And if you want to count the match at midnight that gets going, I don't know if we got another one in store, Dave, but you'll definitely see some people throwing some slips out there to try and catch some lightning in a bottle yet again today.
I don't call him the king of Connecticut for nothing. Congratulations, Will Hill. What a day. We got that text last night. I was like, whoa, Will. Okay. Stock is up in Connecticut. That's for sure. I don't know where the stock is for a guy like Brendan Sorsby right now. Is it up? Is it down? Well, who knows? Because we're going to find out. The NFL supplemental draft will be held later on this month. The saga of Lubbock is over because forget about the court injunctions. This is done. He's going to make himself eligible for the NFL's supplemental draft. The numbers did change after this news yesterday where Texas Tech was odds on to win the Big 12, and now you can get plus money. You're about plus $1.05 out there. Again, check out that newsletter from Bill 80. If you're a VSiN Pro subscriber, you get all access to that information. But Jensen, I think we kept waiting for the next shoe to drop. I guess this is it. And we'll find out now just what the marketplace says that it will bear in the NFL.
Huge win for college football, and they needed it considering this scandal and this ruling initially would be catastrophic for not only college football, but collegiate sports in general. You might as well just call them pros. And again, we do have people that have done far less as far as breaking the sport law, yes, if you will, and been punished far worse. So he's going to get to keep all the NIL money. How about that, Dave? What, $5-6 million? Doesn't have to pay it back. Consider that your severance from college athletics, pal. So I'll be interested to see in the supplemental draft. You talked about it for people just joining us. It's a bid system here in the supplemental draft. If it's not through the first round, we reconvene for the second. There are some prospects out there saying he would be in a mid, like third to fifth round. We'll see who takes a chance on that, if at all. Dave, if he does go undrafted in the supplemental process, he is allowed to sign as an undrafted free agent. So we'll see how this all plays out in a couple of weeks' time.
I think it would be great theater if they gave all of the GMs paddles like a real auction. Brendan Sorsby going on first round, anybody first round. And then you had to put up the pat, right?
At a five,
and
a five, and a five, and a 10, a 10, a 10, a 10, a 10.
That's the way they should do the supplemental draft. You and I would watch. That'd be fantastic viewing right there. The saga that is George Pickens. And we watched that saga unfold a little bit in Dallas. It unfolded in Pittsburgh. And they said, all right, we got to get you out of Pittsburgh. Year one in Dallas was really good on the field. Now, there were some off the field issues last year. And Pickens was looking for a new deal. He's still looking for a new deal. He did report to mandatory minicamp after not attending the OTAs. This is not a shock to me, Jensen. But I do think it's kind of a Dak Prescott, Brian Schottenheimer, Jerry Jones saying, hey, really good year, but remember the off-the-field stuff? We had to suspend you a little bit. UNCD Lamb in Las Vegas. You've taken plays off before in big games and big spots. That stuff can't happen if we're going to invest our long-term time and money in you. So, Jensen, he's there, and now we'll figure out what comes next.
Yeah, and a lot of this predicated on the new Trailblazers owner there in Portland, Thomas Dundon, who also owns the newly christened Stanley Cup champion Carolina Hurricanes. A lot made that there wasn't going to be a fair offer salary-wise from the Dundon ownership group to Tiago Splitter. Can't blame him for wanting to leave. He earned it, had the Trailblazers in contention, got the guys playing for him. So you hope that translates to Chicago, and that's where the Bulls are betting on Splitter being a great decision for them this season and beyond.
We'll find out how that works out, replacing Billy Donovan there. And again, we're starting to feel our age a little bit. Just feels like yesterday he was trying to post up in the low blocks or step out and shoot a three. Zach Cohen, if you haven't checked out Hardwood Handicappers, does a great job on that program. Now that the season is over, the Knicks have won. And I think people certainly out there that have had hot takes about Jalen Brunson through the years are rethinking some of those positions they might have had on Jalen Brunson. Zach's got one of his own, and it's very interesting to hear. Here's Zach talking about the impact of Jalen Brunson in New York and beyond.
I've watched enough Knicks basketball, and I rooted for the Knicks long enough to say that Jalen Brunson is the greatest Knick of all time. And something that they talked about a little bit on Inside the NBA about whether or not he's the biggest free agency signing of all time, I think he is. They had Rick Brunson at the desk. He said Shaq was the best free agency signing of all time. The difference is you knew exactly what you were getting with Shaq. Brunson was ridiculed, and I ridiculed this signing. I thought, good player, just got paid max money to be the face of the Knicks. Don't really understand it. Brunson, in my opinion, sixth best player in the NBA. And you got him on like a discount. You got a guy that wanted to be in New York, that wanted the pressure in New York. I believe he's the best free agency signing ever because you got a little bit more than what you thought you were getting. Honestly, way more.
I love it. And I like people that with convictions, courage of their convictions to say what they think. I am in the Shaq camp when it comes to the greatest free agencies moments and what the impact was for the Lakers, kind of re-put them back in the map. Not that the Lakers need a whole lot of help, but Zach's point is a good one too, that the expectation level for Brunson was so much lower than it was a guy for like, say, Shaquille O'Neal or LeBron James.
Yeah, that's true. So the O'Neal signing with the Lakers in 96, believe what did he win? Finals MVP all three times that they went. One of only two players ever to win three straight alongside the greatest to ever do it, and Michael Jordan. You mentioned LeBron James taking his talents to South Beach in one of the worst sporting moments in history. I do remember watching it during a rain delay in Columbus, Ohio. Such a stupid spectacle to have on there. One I know that he regrets to this day. LeBron did bring championships, though, to South Beach. I would also look at, and these might be honorable mentions, Dave, Kevin Durant to the Warriors in 2016, albeit they did lose to LeBron in the greatest 3-1 or 3-1 collapse in finals history. Moses Malone to Philadelphia in 1982. I know you remember that one because I believe it was it that year or the very next year that they won the title? So, some good candidates, but you can't deny Jalen Brunson will be on that Mount Rushmore of Knicks greats after what he just pulled off this year.
It's so bizarre. Like when you look at yourself through the lens of 40 years later, looking back at a very young kid, how I was a Sixer fan. Dr. J was my favorite player growing up. I loved Andrew Toney and the high socks. Used to wear my socks like that. And then Lawrence Moten, God rest in peace. He used to wear those at Syracuse, I think because Andrew Moten. Moses Malone, faux, fa, faux. That's what Mo said was going to do. And that's exactly what they did. They only lost one game on the way to that championship that year. Moses Malone was the difference maker. I do get Zach's point. I don't know if he's the greatest Knick of all time, but when you have a closeout game, what, scoring 45 points to close it out? you can certainly make that argument. And when you do something that hadn't been done in that town since 1973, I think it's a very fair argument to have this day, and a good one for Knick fans to have. If they're quarreling about who the best Knick is of all time, you know they've done something great. And that's to the victor go the spoils there in the great city of New York. ATL, Spencer Strider is going to be shut down for at least a month here. They do get Drake Baldwin back. That's the good news. You know, you and I talked a little bit about it. I mean, when you talk about the MPH, it's going to be coming off that fastball here, and maybe not just this year, Jensen, but in long term, I mean, that's concerning if you're me, but you know this better as a pitcher. What do you make of this news about Spencer?
Yeah, I think it is concerning because it's now multiple issues with the elbow over a good amount of years here, and the velocity drop is usually the biggest indicator that something is amiss there. The glass half full look, boy, do they need Drake Baldwin back because he will provide what was already a great start and an almost an MVP-esque start to his season. Oh, by the way, he's joining another guy, Matt Olson, that's played like an MVP this year. The rich get richer in that regard, but a nice big boost. You lose a guy in Strider, you get one of your best back in Drake Baldwin. So Wyatt Tomchek and Braves Nation very excited this morning to see their backstop back in action.
Yeah, I always love the you know, the people on social media. And I get it; they're engaging, engagement farming, whatever they call it. And they're like, "Oh, the greatest what ifs of all time," and then they'll have, you know, somebody on there like, I don't know, Jack Moore or somebody. Or I'll be like, or Don Mattingly, like, a guy played 14 years in the bigs. Like, what's a what if? Like, I hope Spencer Strider is not a what if, because that would be a true what if, or a Mark Pryor or Gary Wood, those guys that we never really saw their careers in totality. Those are what ifs. I hope that's not the case for Spencer Strider. What if Greg Peterson's got winners for you? Well, we know that's a fact. He's got winners coming up next on the Major League Baseball docket. That's next right here at Beeson by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books, on this Tuesday morning. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here with you. Always love our conversations with Greg Hoops Peterson, but he is not just looking ahead to college basketball already, but day-to-day Major League Baseball. That's why he is the host not only of the VSiN Coast to Coast Hoops podcast, but also the Baseball Betting Show. Give him a follow on X at GUnit_81. Joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. And Greg, this feels like now, I know it's not for you and I and Jensen, but for a lot of people now, the NBA is over, the NHL is over, and man, do they want to bet some baseball now because they need some other things in their lives. Well, we've been doing this for months already, as have you. What do you have for those people that are turning to Greg Peterson maybe for the first time today?
Absolutely. We've got a lot that is on the board, and we've been seeing a lot of overs the last few weeks as well. It feels like in Major League Baseball with totals, there's some, shall we say, dips, peaks, and valleys with regards to scoring over the weekend when you see the Colorado Rockies score 23 runs in a game on Sunday, like you saw against the Athletics. You know that things are cooking outside, and those balls that were not going out of the yard in, say, April, May, they are currently flying out in June, and that makes things a whole lot of fun, in my opinion, in Major League Baseball.
Greg, you are familiar with Beverly Hills Cop and one of the great songs of a generation, The Heat Is On by Glenn Frey back in 1984, the year of my birth. What has happened since then, in conjunction with what you've talked about totals-wise, we're getting offense here. Let me start with you in the Bronx, because an intriguing series of a first-place team in New York against, yes, people, the first-place team in the American League Central, the Southsiders of Chicago. White Sox, Yankees, good little matchup here tonight. Handicap for a side and total, what you have?
Absolutely, and I'm not sure if the White Sox won this many games in the entire 2024 season. They were that bad. Been quite a turnaround for the Chicago White Sox. That said, I do think that the Yankees get the job done here as Gerrit Cole, since coming off the injury list, sub-3 ERA, has been getting hit a little bit, though. He's only getting about 7.5 strikeouts per 9 innings, so he's not fully back to being the Gerrit Cole that we all know and love. And Davis Martin, very silently, putting up a really nice year. Somewhere around like a 2.40 ERA, 2.40 fielding independent. He's only giving up 0.3 home runs per 9 innings. As we know with the Yankees right now, they're without Aaron Judge. That said, I feel like they're a little bit more equipped to being without Aaron Judge than they have been in past years. He signed Cody Bellinger in the offseason. Ben Rice has really stepped up, over 380 on base, 18-plus home runs, so they're getting good production. And since Judge has been out of the lineup, if you look since June 1st, they're averaging, the Yankees are about 4.8 runs per game. And for the White Sox, they're right without their top slugger, Mantaki Murakami, but still have Colson Montgomery, Miguel Vargas, 17-plus home runs out of both of those guys. So that total of 7.5, just in my opinion, is a little bit too low. I did side here with the Yankees, mainly because as well with the White Sox, bottom half of the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA. While a lot of things are improved with the White Sox, bullpen is still a big giant question mark. So I like the Yankees here, right around -135, -140 on the money line, and that's 7.5 to the over.
You know, Greg, sometimes next day for a team after a rough one the day before, it was a rough one for the Padres. They got one hit by Dustin May, and now they go back to the Lou here for game number two. Can you kind of exhale and go, at least we don't have Dustin May on the bump today here. Better day potentially for the Padres today?
Yeah, talk about May Day for the San Diego Padres. And it's been a Padres team that has really been lacking offense all season long. Out of 30 teams, they are 30th in terms of run creation. And Fernando Tatis Jr., two more home runs than the two of us. That said, I do think that you can get a little bit of a bounce back here, especially with one thing that you're able to hang your hat on with the San Diego Padres. That bullpen. They have been a top five team in terms of bullpen ERA, having the likes of Jason Adam along with Mason Miller in the back half of the bullpen giving you a sub-2 ERA. You feel good about that. And additionally, Michael King, well, he has been one of the kings for the Padres. A sub-350 ERA. Walks have been a little bit up this year, but he's only giving up one home run per 9 innings. And I've noticed this with the St. Louis Cardinals. They're averaging about a full run per game less when they're at home rather than away from home. St. Louis has really been suppressing offense this season, about 5.15 runs per game away from home, closer to about 4.15 runs per game at home. So that'll help out Michael King. Additionally, on the flip side for the Cardinals, Andre Pallante just not getting a lot of strikeouts, about 7 strikeouts to 3.3 walks per 9 innings. So I do think that things improve here for the San Diego Padres and that lineup. Don't want the 8 to the over because I do think that this is going to be another low-scoring game. But I do think that in that low-scoring game, the Padres right around even money, -105. They get the job done. So like the Padres on the money line.
Very good. A team that has flown a lot of curly W's here this year. That is our friends in Washington, D.C. The Washington Nationals have been one of the best stories of this young season. And Greg, I think they're staying power here. They've had some great offense. They've got some decent starting pitching and a bullpen that has actually looked serviceable at times. One of their acquisitions this offseason was Foster Griffin. He has been one of their big stars there in a rotation that is all of a sudden starting to come of age. Do we back another curly W in D.C. against the lowly Kansas City Royals today?
Yep, and one thing that has not been royal has been the W's for the Kansas City Royals. There just has not been too many of them. And I'm back in on the Washington Nationals. You mentioned it with this team. How about number one in the big leagues? Over 5.4 runs per game. And their main two guys are James Wood, CJ Abrams. These two guys have been magnificent. But now you've got guys like Curtis Meade, Dallin Lyle, being able to move the line for the team, give you a little bit of power. And imagine with Foster Griffin, I do think that there's a little bit of regression doing for him. His fielding independent is more than a full point higher than his ERA is. He's got over a 470 fielding independent, 1.7 home runs per 9 innings. But here's the good news. Might not be coming today because out of 30 Major League Baseball teams in terms of road run creation, the Royals are 30th. It has been really, really rough for this Royals team. Salvador Perez is giving you like a 250 on base. Vinny Pascantino has been banged up. He's been a big disappointment for the team. Other than Bobby Witt Jr., you just don't have a lot there. And the Washington Nationals have bullpen question marks. The Royals are currently a bottom six team in terms of bullpen ERA themselves. So it's just really hard to be able to back this Royals team, even with Michael Wacha being a plenty solid veteran thus far this season. He himself not getting a lot of swings and misses. Think that the Washington Nationals get the job done. Back them once again on the money line.
Yeah, that bullpen, whenever they have to go to it, just hold your breath that the Royals have a lead because it's probably not going to last. There is that GIF of Alex Rodriguez when he was working out and he's looking at himself in the mirror. And I kind of see that with the Pirates and the Athletics, that they kind of look at each other and they might be seeing the same team because they're both right hovering around 500 here. What's going to happen today after the A's beat up the Pirates pretty good yesterday?
Yeah, for the Athletics, certainly have had some high-scoring games dating back to last week out here in lovely Las Vegas, but I think that Mitch Keller goes out there and gives you a nice start. For Keller, he's not a strikeout artist. He gives you just barely over 6 strikeouts per 9 innings. He keeps the ball in the yard, though, giving up 0.7, 0.8 home runs per 9 innings. And for this Athletics team, it has been one that has been in the bottom half of the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA, so you got a little bit of question mark there. Jack Perkins has been much better than his ERA when in the Cape, by the way. Right now, he's posting up an ERA above a 6, closer to a 3.66 fielding independent. He is getting over 10.5 strikeouts per 9 innings, but you fear what's going to happen after that bullpen has to come into the game for the Athletics as well. We saw them get completely tattooed over the last few series. And for the Pirates, this has been a top 7 offense in terms of run creation. They are dealing with the O'Neill Cruz injury, so that hurts them a little bit, but Brandon Lau has been solid. You've been able to get a lot out of Ryan Reynolds, guys like this. And for Mitch Keller, guy that has been around the block, knows how to be able to handle his pitch count. So that way he's able to go a little bit deeper into the game, in my opinion, than Jack Perkins, who began the season out of the bullpen. I think that that's going to be the difference. Right now, we're seeing the Pirates right around plus 115, like that plus money line. And I do like the 10.5 to the under.
Very good. Out West, this has been one of those series, too, when the Rays and the Dodgers, a rematch of the 2020 pandemic World Series of top payroll versus lowest payroll, and a place we never, ever want to have to go back again. This is actually a unique series. We were a run or two short of the over last night. I went back there tonight there because, Greg, I think we've got a chance for both these pitchers and Drew Rasmussen and Justin Robleski to have a little bit of regression. Do you see it the same way?
Oh, I'm absolutely with you. And you go back to that game yesterday, 3-3 after the second inning and the over doesn't get there. So that was a little bit of a buzzkill. And for Robleski, he's been able to do a nice job in terms of keeping things out in front of him, as I like to call it, because he only gives up 0.7 home runs, 2 walks per 9 innings. Boy, is he giving up contact, though. About 5.2 strikeouts per 9 innings. And that's a big reason why. If you can get a plus 130 or higher, I'm seeing a few of those overnight. I do like the Rays here on the money line, because with Drew Rasmussen, he's getting 9.5 strikeouts per 9 innings. Another guy that gives up fewer than 2 walks per 9 innings. Now, the one issue is that he does give up a little bit of the deep ball. And for the Dodgers, it does feel like this offense is rounding into better form. They really dodged a bullet with Shohei Ohtani not being injured. He was out for like that first game of that series against the White Sox. Returned at a home run on Saturday, so he's all good. Freddie Freeman is starting to give you a little bit of power as well. We've also seen, though, a little bit of regression with this LA Dodgers bullpen. We're seeing some of these guys really have their ERA sort of balloon. Jack Durant and company have been a little bit less reliable. So being able to get a total of 8.5, like the over, and I do think that Rasmussen is the better starter out of these two guys. I do like the Rays on the money line.
When are you going back to Texas Roadhouse?
Boy, probably sometime this week. If it's not this week, very, very early next week, but certainly the Roadhouse will always be getting my business, especially after a great meal last week.
There you go. It's always in the rotation, Greg. That's why we love you. You're very consistent, and that's what we appreciate. A man that gets up and does the work every single day. Greg Hoops Peterson, we appreciate you. Can't wait for basketball season as well, right around the corner. Talking more World Cup next, right here, VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We're getting closer and closer to football season, but the best bettors are already prepared for it. We can help you do that as well, because next week we're going to release our NFL betting guide. It's packed with everything you need to attack those futures, win totals, divisional races, and the upcoming season. You're going to lock in those early bird pricing with this football special, which is just $175, and you can be among the first to get the guide when it drops next Monday. So the sooner you sign up, the more value you're going to get. Full access to everything we do across every major sport through the Super Bowl in February. That includes daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, and more. So head over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Jensen, we're getting so close to it. Cannot wait for it. You'll have your write-ups in there. Mine are in there. We can't tell you what those are. We're very secretive about that. That's why you got to be a VSiN Pro subscriber, and you will have access to it. But I'll give you a couple hints. If you've been listening to the program, you and I might discuss some of those teams that we like coming up in the coming days and weeks. So stay tuned for that right here on VSiN by the Books. We have a lot of World Cup to discuss, also the College World Series. Let's get into it with today's edition of the Daily Docket.
Your snapshot of odds, trends, and futures. This is the Daily Docket.
Some big names will be back on the pitch, whether that's for Argentina, for France. We've got three matches set today across the country here. East Rutherford, we're going to be in Foxborough and Kansas City, Jensen. So I guess the big three for today, do you just want to watch the big two respectively here for France and Argentina?
No, I want to watch it all. And if you are one of those crazy people that will stay up till midnight Eastern for Austria and Jordan, we've got an idea of where you can go there. All right. We know that everything yesterday was a draw. If you want to go back to it, there are some sports books out there, Dave, that are offering no sweat bets. So might be a fun way if you want to take all three of the matches, at least that begin before midnight tonight. And we'll start with Le Bleu. Against a team in Senegal, the Lions of Teranga, that could probably give some resistance here. And hey, if Cape Verde is any little tell about what they can do to one of the top contenders, then you have to take Senegal seriously. Here's how I see this one going. Again, Kylian Mbappe, one of the top goal scorers in all of football, will be on display. France, one of the deepest squads, Dave, that we have going right now. And Senegal is probably going to be a little bit more defensive. I would say they could be conservative. They're going to try and get maybe some of their runs on the counter. I still think France is the side here. I did get creative on this play, and DraftKings offers some match parlays. So I went with France money line parlayed with an alternate under 3.5. If it is cagey, as our friends overseas like to call it, then I think Le Bleu might be able to get a lead and then maybe sit back and feel like they'll take the 3 points, not have to expend a lot of energy, though. So I could see a 1-0, maybe a 2-1 for France to get it done. So that would be my first play on the board in the first match later this afternoon.
All right. You and I, that's where we're going to differ. I will not sacrifice sleep for Austria and Jordan. No disrespect to those countries. I will sacrifice it for Freedom 250 and or the British Open, but I want to see your eyelids tomorrow. Okay, let's get to the College World Series here, and we are down to six as we get out there to Omaha. I know West Virginia, you feel like honorary Mountaineer these days. Will they continue their season today in an elimination game against Troy?
Certainly hope so. I would imagine it's Dawson Montessa who gets the start here against the Trojans of Troy. Again, two elimination games today. This one early in the afternoon, the Mountaineers and the Trojans winner will stay alive and go face North Carolina tomorrow. The loser will be sent packing. The other one tonight is a rematch of an opening round game between Georgia and Texas. Actually, both these games rematches of opening round games on Friday and Saturday. I would expect that Georgia is going to try and get off the mat in similar fashion. Again, they were held down in a big way by Xander Mercurius of Oklahoma yesterday. If you're looking at potential starters, I would imagine it's Luke Harrison going for Texas, and we'll see what Wes Johnson wants to do with Georgia. Either way, always be looking for the wind and closer to game time if you're betting totals here. I would have to imagine that we could see another high-scoring game between West Virginia and Troy. Almost feels like first to five is going to win this contest, so it would be an interesting live betting opportunity. And then similarly, hard to imagine fewer than 10 runs between Texas and Georgia, because now, Dave, you're getting down towards some of the lower end or the back end rotation arms. Some bullpen resources have been used. And remember that this is Texas and Georgia having to come off no rest. So they both played yesterday. They got to re-rack it and go back tonight. Difference for Troy and West Virginia, they both have had a day off respectively. So anxious to see how it ends up playing out tonight. But I would imagine that the afternoon game there at 2:00 Eastern for Troy and West Virginia ends up being a little bit more elevated in the scoring, as what I would expect Texas and Georgia. So I lean both overs tonight, or at least this afternoon and tonight. And we'll visit with Kyle Peterson coming up. He was on the call for that Georgia-Oklahoma game last night. So anxious to get his thoughts on what he sees later on today.
Okay, for somebody that has not dipped their toe in yet to the College World Series, and now, again, as I mentioned with Greg Peterson, sometimes people are turning the page a little bit with the NBA being over, the NHL being over, and they're like, oh, Jensen, I want to bet Omaha at these current prices that we have. So with somebody out there that has nothing in the portfolio, where would you suggest that they might turn? North Carolina right now is the betting favorite to win, minus $1.30. Oklahoma's plus +330. Georgia 6-1. Texas plus +750. There's the Mountaineers at 17-1. That elimination game against Troy, they are the longest long shot at 80-1.
The only future I would recommend would be West Virginia at 17-1, just because pitching wise, I think they're deep enough that if they had to go to a winner take all game against North Carolina, and for people that don't remember how this works, it is double elimination in the College World Series. And by virtue of North Carolina and Oklahoma now at 2-0 respectively, they would have to lose twice to the winners of tonight's two games. Again, winner of West Virginia Troy will face North Carolina tomorrow. Winner of Georgia and Texas will face Oklahoma beginning on Thursday. So we'll see what happens, how that plays out, but that could be the only future that I would recommend. Back to the World Cup, a couple of other plays for people looking to jump in. And now we're going to visit with Chris Vasili coming up here next segment. Iraq and Norway are an intriguing group here, because Norway is one of those teams that I think is in that dark horse territory. Erling Haaland, for many that watch a lot of Premier League soccer, he is one of the greats there for Manchester City. He is obviously one of the best that Norway has to offer. This feels like we could get more goals. And I don't know if Iraq hang with Norway for the entirety of the 90 minutes. I do like over 2.5 at minus $1.59. So we'll take the over in that contest. Again, that one will begin at 6 o'clock tonight in Foxborough, as the Gillette Stadium will host those two nations later on this evening. And then finally, Lionel Messi in what could be the last dance here for he on the World Cup stage with Argentina. Remember, Argentina, the defending World Cup champions, we have not had a defending champ repeat in quite some time. Their opening match against Algeria tonight, that is in Kansas City. They're at Arrowhead. I like another parlay. Similarly to what I did with France moneyline under 3.5 in the early match, we're going to do the same thing. DraftKings offering this parlay at minus $1.05, Dave. Argentina moneyline under 3.5, the total. I would expect that if you get an early lead for Argentina, they are completely content with just sitting back and being able to run the clock out on this game. If you want to get a little creative, you could probably play an Argentina win to nil or keep a clean sheet. Mm. However, the odds are in your favor. That would be one that I could look at. And then finally tonight, if you don't want to stay up late here on the East Coast, completely understand. But again, I'm going to be very, very candid. I'm going to try and get some of these alternate unders with a side that I like. And Dave, this is the first day where we've really had multiple matches that are significant favorites. Again, France is minus -215 on the money line. Argentina, 225. Austria, the biggest favorite, the second biggest favorite to Norway at minus -270. So again, we will do that same parlay. It's even money on DraftKings. Austria money line with under 3.5 parlayed together. So those would be the plays in pocket for me today. The three parlays, France in the under 3.5, Argentina money line under 3.5, Austria money line under 3.5, and then the over 2.5 in Iraq and Norway later on at 6 o'clock Eastern time.
No official bets in yet for me for the U.S. Open. I might be able to get to the window tomorrow here in the program. Did get a tweet from Dave Mack _, and Dave said, Dave, you're not betting Oberg? Watch, this is going to be the week with the laughing emojis. Dave, you're right. And again, I just want to say this for the record, because people that know me and follow me, certainly with Ludwig Oberg trials and tribulations, I can readjust that position depending on Thursday, but right now there are no tickets on the Big Swede at the United States Open, subject to change, but they will not be in pocket before he tees off on Thursday. That I can promise you. Chris Vasili is going to join the program next. Can't wait to get his expertise on the World Cup. That's next right here at VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN. VSiN by the books, right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the books. All looking forward to Friday's matchup with Australia in the World Cup for Team USA. But we've got three big matches today and one at midnight tonight for a fourth. If you want to count that in, Chris Basile, kind of join us here from Covers. Give him a follow on X at MC_Silly3 and joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line from north of the border in the great country of Canada. Chris, thanks for taking the time to join us this morning. Before we get into those matches today, some big stars that'll be back in the pitch today. We're all excited to watch. What's been your general overview so far here in the first week plus here of the World Cup? Any big surprises or kind of what you thought you would see?
Yeah, this has been a tournament so far that I think has been, you know, it's been solid from, you know, a football perspective. Obviously, some results that kind of, you know, make you scratch your head. A labored result from Brazil there in a draw with Morocco. Spain obviously being held by Cape Verde yesterday, which is the shock of the tournament. I think, you know, some of the favorites, you know, we're going to get a little bit more today with France and Argentina. But some of the favorites that have played already have not exactly kind of pulled away or blown out the doors of anyone yet outside of Germany. So I think we're definitely seeing a tournament that's kind of more, you know, tighter than most people would have thought. But it's definitely been good watching for the first week.
Yeah, Chris, La Roja yesterday, all kinds of chances, but Cape Verde equal to the task. So we go from the red to the blue against the Lions of Taronga early. This is kind of a sneaky match here if you're looking at Senegal. They're probably going to pack it in a little bit and knowing what the attack is like for France. I played France in an alternate under 3.5 on DraftKings at plus $1.15. I do think you would agree that France, the quality of that side should be able to outlast, but maybe a little bit of a depressed scoring as far as the total. How do you handicap that first match?
Yeah, for this first match, I'm actually looking at the over 2.5 goals. I think the biggest thing for me for France is that they don't really change their style of play regardless of who they're playing. You know, whether that's Argentina in the World Cup finals, you know, Spain in the UEFA Nations League, Senegal or a minnow in the World Cup qualifying, they're going to attack at areas, they're going to attack in waves, commit numbers forward, and they're going to trust their elite talent up front to just basically outscore everyone. Senegal, they're not a pushover, as you mentioned. You know, they've got they got a good side. They might sit back and try to play on the counterattack, but they do have some good players up front. Sadio Mane, Nicholas Jackson, Ismail Assar, all players who can, you know, score goals in their own rights. I was on Ready Set Bet on Sunday, talking with the fellows there. I was talking about digging through trends that actually, you know, aren't just white noise. If you look at this France side, you know, a couple of trends stand out. They've gone over 2.5 in 11 straight matches. They've scored 2+ goals in 13 out of the last 15 matches. And Senegal have seen over 2.5 goals hit in 7 of their last 10. You know, those are not exactly white noise trends. This France side is going to play fast. They're going to play up tempo, and they're probably going to bag a couple of goals in this game. I lean to the over here at 2.5.
Very interesting. And Chris, when you look at it now with obviously Mbappe and France, as you mentioned, like them to roll today here and at least get some scoring going against Senegal. And we saw Spain playing to that draw yesterday. They still are the two short shots on the board at plus +425 for France and 5-1 for Spain. Do you look at yesterday's result for Spain and then what we might see from France tonight and readjust your positions? Or is that, hey, it was one match. We're not too worried about Spain long term.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about Spain long term. I mean, these are two teams that, yes, they're the favorites. They've kind of been flip flopping, you know, top spot on the boards, the betting board for, you know, the last, I would say, month, 2 months. They're different teams. Spain is not going to, you know, blow you away. They're going to, you know, dominate possession. They're going to, you know, pick their spots. France on the upside, they're, you know, they're all out attack all the time, essentially. You know, Spain, I'm good with them, you know, drawing that game. Obviously, the result could have been better. But, you know, Argentina lost the last lost their opener in 2022. Spain lost their opener in 2010 when they went on to win the World Cup. So, like, it's one game. It's kind of a wake-up call early that you need. They'll get Yamal back, you know, healthy in the lineup for the full 90 minutes, I'm assuming, next game. The offense will look a little bit more fluid. And I think, ultimately, Spain will be there when it's all said and done.
Yeah, Chris, what a spark Yamal was coming off for the last 20 minutes yesterday. Immediately into the action, the speed, the acceleration. He was a joy to watch, and they almost had a couple there against Cape Verde. Hey, I want to ask you about, of course, one of the great scoring stars in European football. And of course, it's Erling Haaland there of Norway. The Scandinavians, a massive favorite against the Lions of Mesopotamia in Iraq at 6 o'clock. This one going to take place, I believe, at Arrowhead there in Foxborough. So interesting outdoor match, and hopefully the temperatures will kind of cooperate there. Does it feel like it's a fair amount of scoring here from the Norway side? And could we see Haaland maybe get a couple of goals to get started on trying to run down that Golden Boot Award as well?
Yes, 100%. I think Norway's sitting on maybe one of the performances of the group stage so far. I think they... As an Italian who watched them closely through World Cup qualifying, with the group with Italy, this is a team that can attack. They have plenty of good pieces up front. Obviously, Erling Haaland is the focal point, 16 goals in World Cup qualifying campaign. I've actually pivoted to his shot on target market. I'm getting him 3+ shots on target at +120. If you look at his stats from the Premier League, he's found the target 46% of the time when he's shooting or putting a ball on net. So against Iraq, a defense that is suspect, it doesn't have, too much height in the box to kind of, defend his aerial presence. I think Norway's going to feed him, as much as possible. Could he score a goal? Yeah, -250, not worth a look for that. Could he score two goals? Probably, but I like the 3+ shots on target here at +120.
Chris, talking a little bit about Lionel Messi back tonight on the pitch for Argentina, reigning defendings. They're 10-1 to get it done in this cup as well against Algeria. I know all eyes will be on Messi tonight. What do you make of this matchup?
Yeah, for me, this is a Argentina win by probably 2 or 3 goals. I'm laying the -1.5 at +115. I took a position earlier before the tournament to Argentina to actually win the trophy again, defend their title for the first time since 62 when Brazil did it. This Argentinian side defensively is stout. They've got playmakers up front that can, that are game changers, essentially. Lautaro Martinez, Julian Alvarez, obviously Lionel Messi pulling the strings in the midfield. This Algeria side doesn't exactly move the needle in terms of offensive attack. They're probably going to get breached a couple of times here. I'm banking on a comfortable 3-0 win for Argentina in the opener.
I would hope the Desert Foxes, you and I can win both ways here, because that's another one where I took Argentina and under 3.5 in a parlay. So a 3-0 win. Chris, you and I both go home happy there. Okay, for those that want to stay up late on the East Coast and maybe our West Coasters there, 9 o'clock kick. Local time there in Santa Clara at Levi's Stadium. Going to be an interesting one between Austria and Jordan. Again, another heavy favorite on the Austria side here. I'm not shocked that's where it's at. My question for you, does it end up feeling from a tactical side that Austria can find a way to cover this spread? I know it's just $1.15 in a lot of places. I'm sure we're not interested in laying the money line. Is this a multiple goal win in your eyes pretty comfortably, or will we have to sweat it here for the full 90 minutes?
Yeah, so if you're betting Austria -1.5, I think it's going to be a sweat for the full 90 minutes. This is not a side that kind of is shown consistency in their ability to separate from the opponents. If you look at the kind of their recent form, 4 of their last 7 wins have come by exactly 1 goal. One of those wins that came by multi-goals was a 10-0 win against San Marino, which is probably one of the worst teams in the country, essentially. So it's not exactly a game where I'm in a hurry to lay -1.5. Jordan could possibly keep it close, yes, but I think you're going to be sweating out the -1.5 with Austria. They should get the win, but again, not comfortable laying that goal line.
Enjoying our conversation here with Chris Vasili of Covers North of the Border in Canada. And Chris, on Friday, I'm seeing the Team USA has already been shorted from 60-1 down to 40-1 to win this World Cup. Match number 2 coming up here against Australia on Friday. Should the American betting fan be confident that Team USA has got real staying power in this edition of the World Cup?
I think so, yes. I've been touting the USA to win the group and make a little bit of a deep run since, the World Cup qualifying playoff was happening before we found out Turkey was joining their group. Obviously a great result in the first game against Paraguay. This Australia team is definitely going to provide a little bit more, resistance. They're physical. They don't give up much through the air. They got two towering center backs that are just basically clearing everything that comes in from out wide. But I do think the United States ultimately are more talented than the Australians. I think they're playing out wide through Dest and having Pulisic pull the strings with McKennie kind of sitting in behind. I think that's going to be a winning combination for them. Obviously, there's a lot to play for here. The winner of this game is going to win the group, which means staying out on the West Coast right through to the quarterfinals. So that's kind of, you know, it'll impact travel. It'll minimize it essentially for the winner of the group, which is you know, always something that you want to do in these tournaments. I did pivot to a player prop market for this game. I'm taking Weston McKennie over half a shot on target. Basically, Australia's going to kind of sit back. They're going to compact the box. They're going to have to, the United States is going to have to find a way to get shots on target. And McKennie sitting in that deep, you know, lying midfield role, he's definitely got enough talent to trouble the keeper from distance. I think minus 120 is a good price for him to register a shot in a USA win.
Chris, great stuff, man. Thanks for getting up early with us and joining us here on VSiN by the Books. Give him a follow on X at MC_Silly3, Chris Vasili. Check him out over at Covers. Lots to get to here. Our chaos candidates, they're coming up next right here on VSiN by the Books.